Good afternoon, everyone. We've had a wonderful morning, and we have a very important discussion session this afternoon. Again, this is a discussion which is our opportunity to have conversations with each other and to be focused. I believe this is the second session we've had on goals?
Third
session on goals. And that's okay. It is a work in progress, and today should be some more refined direction. So this meeting is September the 3rd, 1 p.m. It is being audio recorded and is available upon request. So let's get started, Dr. Adams.
Well, I'd like to speak to what I gave to you, and I intentionally did not give it to you until after this morning's workshop because it kind of sets the stage for, you know, I think some of the things that we wanted to accomplish this year. So what I did with staff is you had given me some broad goals. You had talked about academic achievement, human resource development, management, school culture, climate, collaboration, communication with families and community. So within that, as a staff, each of the divisions wrote their more specific goals. And then as we looked at it as a team, these are broader goals, but then within each of these in their own area, they have more specific goals. So if I use the example of increased student time as measured by baseline data gathered on types of classroom delivery models, there is a goal within curriculum instruction to have 100 observations, and they're using a rubric, non-evaluative, to gather data on delivery models. So behind each of these is more specific data that the divisions will be working on. So I'm glad to go over them with you, or if you've had a chance to look them at them and have any questions, however you want to do it.
Well, we do want this to be as informal as possible. I do appreciate being respectful of one another, and we do still kind of follow some sort of order. But I think this is a good time for us to have some free-flowing discussion.
Okay.
Just make sure we have opportunity for everybody to speak. So we may as well get started.
Okay, so as I look at the superintendent's goals, they are aligned with the things that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But under yours, what I see more are strategies of how you're going to get there, which is as it should be with mm-hmm. implementation. But I think as a board, what we ought to do is take these same goals and look at them and see what it is we want to accomplish with these goals and talk about the direction and the vision so that it's, you know, becomes more than, for us, more than just a list of strategies.
Strategies, okay.
Yeah.
For example.
Human resource development and management
mm-hmm.
was the one you started with, which you got a list of some really important and necessary strategies. But I think what I'm thinking of when I think of human resource and development management is that I want to know that the front end of the house is doing what it needs to do to set the vision for the new employees as they come in so that there is no misunderstanding as they step into the district what mm-hmm. it is that we see their role and what it is we see them doing and where we're going, because they can do a checklist and do all the tasks necessary to get hired, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they understand the kind of employee we're looking for. And so I think that if we can define that a little bit,
mm-hmm.
that it makes it more clear to the community what these tasks are supposed to accomplish, the community and stakeholders.
Okay. And actually, just to back up, we've talked a little bit about that. It's important that we're looking for the highest quality mm-hmm. employee, number one. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so we've actually talked about that, refining our process for the interviewing and the tracking system. We have a tracking system in place right now, but we feel like we could do a better job with that. And recruitment. You know, are there some other ways that, you know, we can recruit? So I think having a vision for new employees, those would be the strategies that we could use. Mm-hmm. And then even for our current employees, providing that support that's necessary, you know, within that department for our current employees.
And along those same lines, as I listened this morning to what we were talking about, and I didn't not bring those notes in with me, but hopefully I'll be really focused on some of the comments that were made. And especially Mr. Reinberg's presentation, I think that there, and Dr. Adams, you always talk about getting the right people in the right seats mm-hmm. on the bus, mm-hmm. and I appreciate that. But I do think that there are times when we need to be making some hard decisions if we want this to work. And perhaps some of those folks in some leadership areas may not have them in the appropriate administrative position for their skill set. And there can be new skills, new sets learned. I don't mean to imply that there can't be, but I think we need to be ever mindful of that. And that is a huge responsibility both for HR and for you as the superintendent when it comes to that evaluation piece. And we don't ever want to discard anyone for any reason, but we need to be mindful of the end result. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that you have been open to concerns. I know I have been able to share some of mine with you and some specifics. And I appreciate that we're looking at that as part of the whole mm-hmm. that we talked about this morning. Yeah.
If I could expand on that, and I know you leave it to me to, make
absolutely.
Those decisions.
Absolutely.
Is that what we were talking about this morning is very much broadening leadership capacity. It's not just the role of, one person to manage what happens, but to try and empower those at all levels. But, I think that all of those leadership roles are extremely important.
But the final decision still has to be yours, because
right.
you are who we look to
right.
for accountability for that. Not to your staff, we look to you.
Right.
So, and that's why it needs to be the superintendent's goal. Goals, part of those goals.
Yeah, and you're all helping, by adding to this conversation, you're helping me kind of gel better what it is I'm thinking, and
mm-hmm.
that this is an opportunity that we don't want to miss to change the way things have been done. And so I would hate for, our employees to take a look at a list and just say, oh, just more stuff that they're telling us to do.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm trying to do is create a more comprehensive approach to it so people can believe that this is really what our intentions are. They can believe that the board is going to be behind the vote. With our votes, we're going to be deliberate and diligent about making sure that our votes are aligned to these goals and that the strategies are supported by the board and that there is full communication and it isn't just a top-down measure that's
mm-hmm.
coming from you and we're just, getting on board with
mm-hmm.
I want to make it so comprehensive that it's clear to everyone that this has been a very deliberate action and that we really mean what we're saying.
So is what you're saying then that we're trying to figure out, it's almost like what is the philosophy behind all of this or the mission or the vision? So with all of this, all of these strategies, for example, that we're seeing under human resource development and management, what that is really getting at is having the best staff available. The staff is supported. The staff has meaningful evaluation and the staff is held accountable. And if that happens, the district is going to be a healthy district. And these are the things we do so that that happens in human resource development and management.
That's a great way to put it. And I think what that does is it bridges the divide because we all know what we're talking about here
mm-hmm.
because we've been in
mm-hmm.
these conversations all this time,
mm-hmm.
but someone who picks the document up isn't really going to know what it is,
right?
So it bridges that understanding of what these strategies are doing and what that goal means. What does the goal mean, human resource development?
Right.
What does it, because it's open to interpretation unless we clarify.
Okay, so you use words like establish a vision for that sets a standard of high quality and accountability for all staff or
mm-hmm.
all employees.
Yeah, and the point of the supporting the staff.
And
high quality
evaluation.
And that comes into accountability.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think that it does come under accountability, but
for example, when you look at what's happening with performance pay and the way teachers are being evaluated, there's a lot of discussion and there's a lot of research that shows that it's not just you give people X and you get Y. So we do have a system in place that's been mandated by the state, but is that the best system? You know, and we have no control over it. But just because we have that accountability doesn't mean that that's the most fair, meaningful way to evaluate teachers. And I know that that's beyond our scope because we have to do what the state tells us to do. But that, you know what I mean, that just because we say we have that, is that really the best way to evaluate? I mean, I'm just saying that as an example that we have it in place in the same way that we've had evaluations for our leadership, and we've had to change those evaluations. So we've always been, there's always been accountability, but the quality of the accountability is important. And now we have a new tool that we're using, and it's untested, and we're going to see how that works. So we have to be mindful that it's a work in process. Mm-hmm. And it's not, this is it, it's perfect, do it.
But if we're establishing that vision, what's the ultimate that you want in terms of high quality? We want high quality staff.
Right.
Okay. We want accountability at all levels. And I don't know whether, you know, you want to write support. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because meaningful evaluations has to do with support as well. In other words, you're not just giving, it's not just accountability, but it's also providing support to all the employees. You do it through health insurance, you do it through meaningful evaluations, you do it in a lot of, in a variety of ways. Do you know what I mean?
And
feedback.
The state tells us the minimum amount that we can do for assessing our teachers. And we can do more. And mm-hmm. you've addressed that in number two by increasing the mm-hmm. non-state approved
exactly.
assessments. So it's a way to give feedback mm-hmm. that isn't required, but that maybe have more meaning to a particular teacher rather than the other model. So I think that is
addressed in a strategy.
Addressed in a strategy, yeah.
Well, and you can't always take those feel-good things to the bank, but they are still very important too. Mm-hmm. To our school culture, and you're doing a little more with that now. I like what we're doing with the ending of our board meetings, having just that little tiny clip. Mm-hmm. That's such a positive way to end. You're doing that with your Friday updates by being inclusive with that. There's just so many ways. Again, that's not dollars in the bank, and it's not, you know, opportunities for other things, but. It would be nice if we could see a thinking goal. How about a thinking goal instead of a thinking rule? How about a thinking goal where in Indian River County School District is one of the best places to work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that again goes back to some history with mm-hmm. this district. And mm-hmm. you know, that would be nice for that to be. A rising up of our employees who would like to see something like that happen. And that also goes to this school culture. I can't tell you how many times I hear people at all levels, who say, well, they said we had to do this, and I usually will say, well, you're part of they, and that's usually my response. That's a mindset we have to change, and we have to change it especially with our leadership, because some of our leadership in doesn't trickle down from some of our leaders. It trickles down here to our leaders, but doesn't trickle down from those leaders into their individual schools and departments. Because then again, it's they.
Would you restate those things that you said before that you have those staff?
Well, it was, you know, having high performing staff or quality staff, and that is meaningfully evaluated. And that gets the support that they need in order to be successful.
Yeah. Well, I kind of took establish a vision for new and current employees, right?
That
sets a standard of high quality, accountability, and support.
Right.
Is that mm-hmm. something similar to that?
Okay.
Okay.
Should we gain any comments on that list? Mm-hmm.
I do have a question when it comes to resource development and the recruitment strategies. And I know we had a conversation about this in the past. You know, one of the issues that the district does face is complying with the DSEG order in terms of those percentages.
Right.
And I know that in the past, because we were hiring more teachers and the economy was different, we had strategies to recruit. You know, people were actually going out and recruiting, and they were very mindful of that. But lately, I know that we've hired more, but since that is a percentage that we haven't really been able to meet over time, mm-hmm. Would it be worth it for that to, you know, it wouldn't be here at this level, but is that something that should be a part of your thought process as you work on your recruitment strategies?
Well, I think improved recruitment strategies, you know, can encompass, a variety of things. I think that particular goal is always in the background. That's part of, you know, the district's, you know, always a goal. You know, but as far as a board goal goes, mm-hmm. I think putting forward improved recruitment strategies is trying to speak to, you know, those concerns. It's making sure that it's diverse but yet high quality. It's also getting to your high quality in terms of.
But
the recruitment strategy is part. Yeah.
That is your human resource development person. For example, we have someone new that's doing the human resource, mm-hmm. you know, overseeing human resources. So that means that, you know, here where you say sharing the vision with new employees, then that's part of that person's mindset. They need to be mindful when they do recruitment that we are, mm-hmm. you know, we do have a DSEG order, and that's an area of weakness. That's been, you know, an area of weakness for the school district, that our percentages have never really met that goal. So that person would be mindful of that.
That's a goal that's a strategy that staff mm-hmm. would work on. And that's why that's part of this.
Mm-hmm. Do we have the new percentages for this year? I know we exceeded administratively.
Mr. Fritz is working on that.
I'd be interested in that. I know we exceeded it last
and
year.
We actually wanted to take a look at that. We just talked about that.
It's part of his job description, actually.
Right. So he's actually working on something now, because we just had a conversation about that the other day.
All right, so do we see ourselves having this narrative goal of the board mm-hmm. for human resources mm-hmm. and then
like
your
that.
District goal
mm-hmm.
of,
I like that.
Of mm-hmm. some of the strategies? Okay.
I personally like that.
I do too.
And that was for human resources and development, or that's broad?
That's just for,
human resources.
Human resources.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who's keeping, Ms. Dang is keeping track of the narrative language that we want to...
Yeah. Well, it's also on the recording. She does have the narrative.
And what are we going to do with that?
That will be coming back to us. You're talking about what are we doing with it? What we're doing is district goals.
Yeah. So what I heard is you're setting a goal for me.
Yes.
And the goal for me is to establish a vision for new and current employees, something like this, right. that sets a standard of high quality accountability and support, right? And then within that, I'm going to use different strategies
exactly.
to accomplish that. And
exactly.
I've given you an idea of what some of those strategies would be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
All right.
And those are our goals for the district. But those are not, are we saying that the goals for the district are synonymous with the board goals, with our goals as
yes.
board members?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. We can't have two different accountabilities. Mm-hmm. They all need to be focused on the same.
Okay.
Well, let's look then at, let's kind of, we're going to go, looks mm-hmm. like we're going through all of them, mm-hmm. so why don't we tackle academic? And here are your strategies relative to time on task, mm-hmm. reading, math, the moonshot moment, and the schools
innovation.
Of innovation.
Mm-hmm. As I was listening to our reality check this morning,
mm-hmm.
any annual measurable goals.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's real dangerous to let the public in any way believe that we believe that those goals set for the different ethnic groups
mm-hmm.
are what their limits are, you know?
Right.
And when the state of Florida created those goals, they did a really terrible job of explaining
yes,
what the purpose of them was.
Mm-hmm.
What the purpose of them was to decrease by half
right.
what the gap was. But the way they put it out, it sounded like that was our expectation for
right.
those groups. And that was unfortunate. And that it wasn't corrected even when it was brought to
mm-hmm.
their attention that that's how the public perceived what they were saying. So how we state this is very important to me, that we have high expectations for everyone.
Exactly.
We're in check with where they're starting from, but we believe that they can all reach, you know, the same goals. So,
and it's just to speak to the other end of it. Remember, they had everybody at 100%.
Yes.
I mean, one was very unrealistic, and then when they tried to say, okay, where's your starting point? Where are you right now? And then what would be the expectation?
Yeah.
What's a reasonable expectation as we, but it's high,
yes.
high expectations for everybody.
But I applaud you, Dr. Adams. Early on last year, you gave us a heads up as to what the real figures were and where we really were headed.
Right.
And I appreciate that, because then that gave us a sense of urgency, because there is a sense of urgency.
Should be.
It wasn't just a matter of points. It wasn't
right.
just a matter of, you know, that's one way to look at data. But, no, I appreciated the fact that you gave us that heads up last year as to the direction we were heading into with our subgroups especially.
And I think that I hear Mrs. Disney saying something is to have this vision and high expectations for all and believing that all students can achieve.
Yes.
You know? And that's a bedrock belief.
Well, success for one child is different than the success for another child. I agree with that. But I also think that setting those limits, pre-setting limitations of expectations
right.
is wrong for any child. So what good wordsmithing, Ms. Disney, can you do on this one?
I have a question. When we look at this, I know that, you know, that's ours. We want to work to serve all students with excellence, with the belief
mm-hmm.
that all students can achieve.
Mm-hmm.
However, when we look at the data, and we look at the data from this morning, there were specific groups, and that kind of goes to the understanding that we want to improve, close that gap. But I guess my question is, this is a very general statement in terms of reading and math. When we know that our ELLs, our SWDs, you know, there were three subgroups from the data this morning that were doing more, that were struggling more than others.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's something to be said for you treat everybody equally, but everybody doesn't need the same. You know, and we see that
yeah.
with our disabled students. If we just go by the philosophy that it has to be the same for everyone, then we wouldn't be able to meet
yeah.
the needs. So my larger question is, I know that everything, you know, is in flux, and a lot of this takes time, you know, what we talked
mm-hmm.
about this morning. But specifically, as we're looking to 2013, 2014, and we're looking at the academic school goals for students, you know, I would assume that you're going to have a plan for how we're going to specifically meet the needs of those kids. That's not our job to formulate, but it is our job to kind of uplift and say, for me, you know, we want everyone to show learning gains in reading
mm-hmm.
and math,
mm-hmm.
but there are some students that are needy of some more support, and I think that it's important to have an idea of what that's going to look like. Because, you know, they don't need the same intervention that the kid that's already at grade level is
going to
get.
And that doesn't happen today.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I would say about that at the board level. I feel like at the board level, what you're saying to me is that we've got to have increased achievement, regardless of what,
right.
whether you're a student with disability,
right.
whether you're,
mm-hmm.
you know, no matter what. And that's what the goal should be.
Right.
Now, how that is interpreted could look a little different at every school based on, you know, the population that they have. So then the expectation is that I don't set that. I set the expectation that there's going to be an increase. And then how it comes about is done in the school improvement process using the information they have. It's going to be done through the information on the fellowship of instructional leaders. They're attacking attendance. That's the first thing that they're doing. Attendance has an impact on other things. So that happens. Those are the strategies that happen at the various levels. Okay? So today I can't give you a plan that says what my expectation is except is to increase. Now, within curriculum and instruction, within the school improvement process, at the various schools, that will formulate differently. But there's an expectation of differentiated instruction. We have, all those different pieces that are happening. Mm-hmm. But it's to focus on those areas that need improved. But I can't tell you what it's necessarily going to look like.
Okay, so then I'll rephrase my question then. What are we going to do differently? Because we've always set goals for subgroups. And we've always, when we looked at the data, when Dr. Lacava was here, we would get the data and we'd get, what was the goal for last year? What was the goal for this year? What's the goal for next year? And we see all the percentages and they're all
right.
Done. Using the subgroups and some improve and some don't, but I guess we've seen this over the years and we've seen the same struggles over the years. So maybe my question is, what are we doing differently this year from last year, given the persistence of these challenges with some of our subgroups?
And I think that's what this morning was about. The whole morning was talking about how you're going to look at this situation in a different way. Because we've looked at data, we've taken the data, we've said, okay, we'll go by here and here, and now we're going to have the groups that from every school look at their information, and let Mr. Reinberg work through the transformational process with each school, and board members that want to be on it, that are willing to come to each one, and community. So I think it's going to...
Excuse me.
We need something besides academics.
So in academics, we want to establish a vision that...
An academic environment with high expectations, allowing students to unlocking the potential of all students by using every resource available to accommodate individual needs.
I would add somewhere that they have quality learning experiences that are relevant. Because I think kids are losing their interest in learning because they don't see the relevance.
Mm-hmm.
And those experiences should be quality experiences, not being stressed out to perform, but that should just be part of that process of accountability. But the focus should be quality learning.
Mm-hmm.
For kids, because teaching test taking is not
right. And how did you say that again?
An academic environment with high expectations, unlocking the potential of all students by using quality learning experiences relative to today's students. I know it's still a little awkward, but
any other comments on that?
What are we doing with these goals? So there's four goals. What do we do with them? We put them on a piece of paper?
Well, they are what the superintendent will be evaluated on at the end of the school year.
Right.
Just like we did.
So we're going to. So we're redoing the superintendent's evaluation tool?
The next meeting we have to do this first, and then we will go to the next.
And the strategies will provide the measurable.
Right.
Right. The strategies will be the measurable part.
I had a question coming into this because I think it's important that we have our district goals, which really the focus
is student achievement. For, you know, how are we going to make sure that our students are successful and they graduate, you know, literate, numerate, and so on. But my question is, when we're looking to evaluate the superintendent, I don't believe that these four goals are the only thing that our evaluation tool needs to be based on. There are other things that the superintendent needs to be doing that should be part of the evaluation. And some school districts actually break it out. You know, I made that chart last time to kind of illustrate that, because there are other things in terms of governance, in terms of things that need to be done as part of the role of superintendent that are not just these four goals. So I just want to make sure we're not limiting our evaluation to articulating what the vision is for each of these four goals from the perspective of the board. Here are the strategies, and then that becomes the tool, because I think it's bigger than that. I'm just making sure
But we have to make certain that we do not get off of what our vision is, which is our goal. And if we are going to evaluate the superintendent on something that does not go back to these goals, then I would like a further discussion on that, because I think whatever the superintendent is doing during the year, I don't care if it's the community piece or the school culture or academic, you know, data or the human resource part, it should all be, that should be her focus, or their focus. That should be the focus. And I think if we start throwing in too many things, well, number one, you don't want too many goals to begin with for evaluation, because then that is, I think we've had as many as 15 in the past goals for a superintendent. That's unwieldy. But I think everything, and maybe I'm wrong, Dr. Adams, I would like your reply.
What I would like to say is I made these district goals based on what you told me.
Right.
These are board goals that you gave to me.
Right.
Academics, human, you know what I'm saying? So these aren't things that I want to remind everybody, the process that we went through.
Well, I know where you got them from. You got them from our discussion.
I kind of then framed it as how could I make these district goals.
Sure.
But these were what the board gave to me.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I understood that was what was going to happen, was that the board was going to have a conversation about board goals, and you were going to have a conversation with your staff about district goals, and they didn't have to necessarily mirror ours, but I think that, you know, my assumption was that when we came together, we would have realized that they were pretty much the same thing. So I didn't expect you to take our goals and kind of put yourself in them or the district in them. I expected you to meet with your staff. What are our goals? You know, what do you want to accomplish? Because they may have brought up different things that we didn't bring up. So, I mean, it was done differently, but that's not, when I took notes and when I was, you know, trying to put it all together, I had understood that you were going to come up with your perception of what the goal should be with your leadership team, and then we would have that conversation to find that consensus, you know, or to see, wow, they're the same thing.
Well, and here's what I would say, is that when you looked at that whole process that we've been talking about for a while, it fits. It was really interesting that we were kind of all on the same page when we were looking at what needed to be done. So I felt they were very appropriate, as did staff, and we were very comfortable and looking at those. When I'm given goals, I also take those back to my staff. So, but in all of the conversation we've had in these 7 or 8 weeks that we've had everybody together, I feel like this is what the focus should be.
I think it would help if we went back to that the workshop where I handed out the sheet and we had goals,
okay,
strategies, and objectives. So the goals are what we're talking about right now, the narratives.
Mm-hmm.
The objectives are the things you're going to be evaluated on, the things that you need to do in order to make the vision happen.
Right.
And the strategies are what you're going to do to get there. So if we look at it that way, what we're building is the framework.
Right.
This is our framework. These goals, just these four universal goals that we're all agreeing on.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the next meeting, you'll come back with your objectives. We'll come back and work on the objectives, and you'll come back with the strategies. And that, we'll take all of that and put that into the tool, evaluation. Does that make it any clearer?
So that means we have the strategies pretty much before the objectives at this point?
Only because we had discussed previously. I think all we're doing right now is fleshing out the goals that we previously discussed. Mm-hmm. We're just now making them more clear so that we can communicate them to the public at large, the stakeholders, because
sure.
just saying our goal is academic doesn't tell them what we see happening. So we're really taking the goals that we came up with last time and we're expanding them out.
Ms. Stang, I'm just making certain that you did get the, I know it would be on the tape, but you did get the verbiage for that Ms. Jimenez did on the human resource development management. And you did get the verbiage that Ms. Disney gave.
We're taking good notes, so if it doesn't come out, just that way we can.
I was being respectful.
Did we catch everything in number one?
I think so.
Okay. School culture and climate. Mr. Reinberg would be really good. So he really feels it.
Yeah.
Board comments.
You know, I think what we're talking about here is, you know, when we're talking about school climate, we're talking about safe, respectful learning environments. We're talking about places where students want to be, where teachers want to be, and where the community feels welcome. And that is all contingent on customer service. You know, just to put it out there. So how would you like, how do you feel that should be phrased? How would you like that phrased?
It's probably not just teachers and students. I mean, a school culture has to do with every person that's associated with that.
That's the McDonald's.
You know what I mean?
That's the McDonald's theory. The custodian makes the hamburgers.
Exactly.
Comes to be fired if that wasn't true.
Pardon?
Or do you want me to say Burger King?
No.
Okay.
Figure out what McDonald's you're going to.
But I do think it is about that. Setting that stage for that welcoming and good customer service at all levels.
I think it also needs to be about ownership. You know, back again
it
to
is
this
they.
Phase. We
yeah.
they.
Empowering.
I even had a recent conversation with someone in a public store, only because he asked me if I found what I was looking for after I talked to one of the stock, or the fellows from the stock. And I said, yes. I said, but I have to tell you. When he referred to they moved in here, I said, I did tell him, we is what you should be saying, because you were part of the they. And that's just something that it's easy to throw that, it's easy to deflect, and we all do it, and some better than others.
How about something, I'm just looking at some of the other examples, something around developing and sustaining a district culture conducive to student learning or student something, staff something, and community something. You know what I mean? Because we know that when, you know, we've seen it in our schools, when we look at some of the things that happen in schools, if the kids don't appreciate where they are, if they don't value their school, that's when you have things like bomb threats and graffiti, because they don't feel ownership of it. And I think that what we're talking about is a culture where everyone feels ownership, where teachers feel that ownership and that respect, where staff, be it a district administrator, a custodian, where this is our project and we're all in it together.
Exactly.
And that seems to have been lacking. So it seems like the goal is to not only develop it, because it's been lacking, but to sustain it. And not just, you know, like, it has to be ongoing. It can't be we're going to roll this out.
It, you did it, and then we're done.
Check. We talked about it. It has to be continuous.
I agree 100% with that. I absolutely do.
So it's develop and sustain.
Sustain. Developing and sustaining, I think you said?
Yeah.
I think we can make a case for putting that student learning in every one of these goals, because it's applicable, but it also drives home the point that that is really where we're focused. Mm-hmm. I think student learning will fit in each one of them. So stick with that one, student learning, and then would you say teacher?
She's not keeping it writing. She's on her way. She's on her way. I can see. She's going fast.
I stopped. You know, I don't know how to frame this. You know, in terms of the teaching of the teachers, you know, teacher, you know,
empowerment,
teacher.
And I don't think we can use the word culture, because that's what we're trying to define.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. An atmosphere.
An environment.
Environment.
Yeah, we could switch, in academic, we could switch it to, switch academic, the environment after academic to a different word. So you can use environment and climate. But it is, I think it's more relevant. Academic setting, you know, and then use school environment or learning environment.
That is sustain an environment that.
And I'm sorry. So it's read.
I was giving up the environment word in the academic piece, and I'll switch that to setting. So you can use environment in the school climate.
Develop and sustain an environment that supports or empowers teachers, students, and staff, or
supports student
and learning,
empowers
that supports
teachers,
students, learning, empowers staff, teachers and staff. It's not just teachers; it's everybody.
Everybody
has
to hear.
Yeah, staff.
It empowers and supports.
Ms. DeGresta has a light bulb. I can see it.
I was going to say all employees.
That supports student learning and all employee needs and employee needs. Develop and sustain an environment that supports student learning.
You know, I'm thinking of we're saying that we want quality. You know, when we go to human resources, we want quality staff. So we want professionalism. You know, at every level that you do, and we have some people that have it and some people that need support to get there.
Well done, Ms. Inez.
So
give her a diploma.
But that would be supporting student learning.
That would all support student learning.
If we have an environment that supports student learning, that is who we are and what we're about. You know what I mean? Through empowerment. I mean, I like the word empowerment because you're talking about everybody feeling like they've got a role in that.
Well, they don't need to feel like
so support student
that.
Learning.
They do have that
role. Environment that supports student learning.
Yeah, but I think part of the challenge here is that we need. They need to be empowered. And I shared this with you. Somebody shared with me a paper about community work and how when it's not programs that build, that help children and help communities, it's actually the community's ownership and coming together to make things happen. And the paper that I read had to do specifically about youth. And the gist of it wasn't create a program to send the youth to, but the gist of it was talk to the youth, ask them what they'd like to see different,
and work with them to make it happen. And I think in education, of course, there are things that kids need to learn, but I think that there's something to be said for empowering them, something about the self-efficacy, you know. Not only we a supportive learning environment, we need to include something about that self-efficacy, because it's not just about, you know, the academics we've talked about before. Everything is intertwined, but when you're talking about the climate, there should be something about support. The climate supports the kids, but it also empowers them.
It builds self-efficacy for all groups, really.
All groups,
and
yes.
Then supports student achievement. You know, I think it's not just student learning, it's student achievement. I mean, we want students achieving at higher levels.
Absolutely.
That builds self-efficacy.
And something, you know, when we talk about achievement, I think we also have to be realistic. It has to be students working to their potential. And because, you know, it's like somewhere I read about years ago, you know, the standard in running was a 4-minute mile. That's what they wanted to accomplish. Everybody can't run a 4-minute mile.
Right.
You know, they can all train and run to the best of their ability. And I know that puts you on that slippery slope of, oh, well, that's an excuse for not following through. But I think we have to be realistic in that achievement. It differs. We're all human beings and we're all different. An achievement for me may be a 10-minute mile, and that's my achievement. But I wasn't allowed to just fall back and say, well, I can't do the 4-minute mile, so I'm not going to do anything. You know, and I don't know how we, or if we want to include that.
You might have bridged that by the first one. You talked about unlocking the academic potential, which means that could vary. But then no matter what happens in the building, we should be building that self-efficacy for all groups and supporting student achievement. You've kind of differentiated.
Right.
The
yeah, I think that we may want to keep this a little broader. And then in the objectives, put some of those things in there.
Mm-hmm.
But a broader statement would be to create and support a learning environment that promotes a safe, respectful learning environment. Redundant. That invites all stakeholders, students, teachers, and community to participate in student learning.
And then get to your self-efficacy and your strategies.
Right. Yeah. Oh, well, we could take that last statement out and put it in the next, the number four, and just go to the efficacy one, because it is getting a little worried.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Can we massage that one more time?
And do it again?
I'll let the two of them. Because they both said it.
Yeah, they both have said it.
And
they said it
in different
ways, so we need to.
They have said it, and I'm not going to be able to repeat it.
Create and support a learning environment that is safe, respectful, and enhance. What's a good adjective? And does what for? No, it's an adverb. Does what for student efficacy? But who's going to know what that means? Maybe we need to break that down.
Maybe that can come in the strategies. But empowerment is a nice word.
I like empowerment.
It's kind of means similar. One of the things that I think is good in your front end is to develop and sustain. I think the sustaining part, a learning environment. You said that.
Sustain as in,
yeah, develop and sustain a learning environment that is, and that's where we
sustain.
Or that.
That is safe and respectful.
Okay.
Empowering students to take responsibility for their education.
It's just not students.
Yeah.
That's
right. That's correct.
It's everybody.
Well, I just keep hearing Mr. Reinberg with the teachers are doing all the work, you know? And
he's right.
Yeah.
So they're the ones who go home tired at the end of the
day. Engaging the student helps them take responsibility for their education instead of leaving it all up to the
teacher.
That is
safe, respectful, and empowerful. Yeah, I think.
But they have to feel safe to be able to go out on that limb.
I like the word engaging, because it gets rid of that the passiveness.
Yes.
You know, the students have to be engaged, and the onus is not just on the teacher. It's a mutual, it's that relationship, you know. And, you know, another thing with this school culture and climate that we haven't even talked about, and I don't know, is that whole concept of relationships. I think that if you have a school culture and a climate that is positive, a lot of that happens because people are in relationship with each other. And when you have those relationships, everybody has bought, you know, people buy in. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's lacking.
Yeah. I think that respectful kind of gets to that.
Okay, so how about develop and sustain a learning environment that promotes that is safe, respectful, and engaging for students and staff?
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's kind of about almost what I have for students and staff. Okay. I think that gets to all that. Don't you? Mm-hmm. Say it one more time.
We have plenty of opportunities.
Yeah. Would you just say one more time? I think I got most of it.
Develop and sustain a learning environment that is safe, respectful, and engaging for students and staff.
That is safe, respectful, and engaging.
Are we ready for number four?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I already wrote, collaborate and communicate with families in the community to encourage participation in schools, support for public education, and contributes to student learning. That to encourage participation in schools, encourages support for public education, and contributes to student learning.
I'll just throw a couple of phrases out there.
Okay. So we wanted stuck on some of the same words.
We wanted to engage stakeholders. So, you know, some of the language I saw was systematically engage stakeholders. So it's an ongoing engagement. It ensures meaningful involvement. So the community wants to be involved. And, you know, here's an example. One of the things that I've done when I send out my school board updates, I send people these goals, and I said, here are the general goals that the district is looking at. Please send me your feedback. And around this one that came back to me had to do with collaboration and engagement with the community. And it says that, and this came from the School Health Advisory Council, so they work on things like improving oral health, obesity, and part of their conversation was that the community groups that are working on all three of these focus areas, which were obesity, tobacco use, and oral health, have each expressed frustration regarding the difficulty in getting administration to approve resources, and this leads to some schools receiving services, some schools not. And I know this is like in the weeds, but that whole idea that we say we want that community collaboration, but are we really creating a culture that is receptive to it? Because you can't tell to the community, you know, we want to partner with you, and then when they're here and they're trying to provide services, then we say, but no. You know what I mean? Because that's just a very specific in the weeds example. So, you know, it has to be meaningful. It's not, we have a list of, these are all the people, but it's, okay, is it a meaningful engagement? And sometimes it's just donating money, you know, as we see for PTA and stuff like that, but sometimes it's really being engaged, promoting shared responsibility. I really like that idea of, if we're working together, we share this the responsibility together. And then the piece about advocacy, you know, when we're working with the community, there are so many issues that impact kids that are beyond our scope as the school district. And really, what are we doing to advocate in the community, you know, like with the executive roundtable, just, you know, to make sure that the community has awareness of all of the different factors. So there's a little advocacy piece there that also creates awareness so we can together partner and advocate at whatever level there needs to be advocacy to support kids, and that could be a little piece of engagement, you know, because we can't do it alone, and everybody knows if you're the school board member and you're doing the advocacy, it's because you're the school board member, but if the community is doing the advocacy, the businesses are doing the advocacy, it's a different voice.
I remember when we heard from the PR guy at Orange County Schools and how he talked about building public support, and that in their particular case, they actually had that little university where they had community members come through. And while that isn't duplicatable on the same level here because of just the size of our community, we've essentially done that by partnering with the Literacy Alliance because they've become, you know.
Well, so they've branched out into much bigger.
Yeah, but they've become a voice for us in that they do are able to talk about some of the good things happening, and it's been really well received because of the people it's coming from. And so that's what I feel like we have to do is build this army of people that understand what's going on in the schools and that can speak to these at their clubs, at their churches, in their social circles, because some of our achievements are our best kept secret. And you know, that's something I think is part of this collaborating with the community. I mean, it's that part as well as being able to really get just practical messages out. We seem to keep hitting challenges of getting information out just in general.
And then here's, you know, that's about building those relationships and getting the word out. And this other one collaborates with families and community members responding to diverse community interests and needs and mobilizing community resources. So that could also be a part of that, because the advocacy piece is important, but we need, you know, when I look at this and I look at engagement, we engage them as allies, we engage them to be involved, and you know, we engage them to also inform them and get their feedback about what is happening in their schools.
Well, we could break it down just like that in this particular, you know, the three different ways we want to communicate with the community.
I guess what I would ask is there's more collaboration and communication, not necessarily through me, always, but, you know, than ever before. Yeah. I mean, I see communities advocating for us in ways where they're, you know, like it's Connected for Kids providing workshops. It's like United Way looking at the 0 to 4, you know. I mean, there are so many people out there that are working on our behalf. If we can keep that going and we can keep that advocating, and that's really important. So what would you call that's happening, and making sure we do that? And I think families is the piece. I think we're really working hard with the community and trying to get a lot of reaching out to those families, I think, is another really important thing that, you know, in meaningful ways. It doesn't always mean that they're coming to us, but how can we communicate with families more effectively?
I think we're a lot better at the public part, the partnership part. We're a lot better than we were. I think we're a little bit better at getting information out, you know, with the website and with different ways we're getting information out. But I don't think we're any better at getting feedback and hearing back from.
And that's a really good point, because some of the things that I got back from the staff are surveys on, in just a lot of different ways, surveys from the community on the website with the information, getting information out on auctions. I mean, that's one little thing, getting information out. They really talked a lot about pushing more information regarding the district, not PR kinds of things, but how do we get more information, and how do we assess whether they're getting the information that they need and they want? So there were several surveys, online surveys, they were talking about as well. So staff is really thinking about that. If I can find a couple of
this under four, this involves community leaders in the Indian River Fellowship instructional leaders.
Yeah.
only because I'm curious. How are we judging community leaders? How are we setting up that criteria?
The community leaders part that we're using for that are the people that have been involved in the literacy focus. Because the focus, we talked about this morning about literacy being one of those focuses at all levels. And so we've had people like the Education Foundation, the McCabe, the people that have been involved in that would like to be part of this, which is, so we've invited that group that were part of the Emergent Summit.
And I appreciate that because I can see someone coming in who hasn't had any, conversation of any kind with anybody in the building, and then you have all of this training that needs to take place for someone to be involved with something. And I think that is not in the best interest of what this sounds.
This
so I do
really
appreciate
the community
that.
Literacy leaders,
I
appreciate, if I need to be
that.
More specific. But it's been
because,
people that
and they
have been
are
involved.
Community people and they are community leaders.
Yes.
But I just wanted to clarify in my
how big is this thing gonna be?
How big? Depending on the size of the school, I think the elementary schools have 5 people involved. The high school, like Urbidge High School, probably has up to 8 or 10. And so we have 2 different cohort groups. When it's one is too big, so they have 2 different groups going throughout the year.
Okay. I wanted to follow up on Karen's comment. What I have so far is maintain outreach and meaningful community engagement to respond to diverse student needs and receive feedback of stakeholders. And I think that in this area there's a lot that we are doing well, in terms of the outreach. We have a lot of support from different community leaders. And I think, as I mentioned this morning, I think the feedback is one of the areas that we need refinement in, because when I look at strategies, technology is a great way to get information out. The district website is a great way to get information out. But if we don't build relationships with people, that technology alone is really not going to create the meaningful collaboration and engagement that we'd like to see. We need to get information out. I still kind of go back to that idea of finding ways to engage the community, of having town halls that are not scripted, that are opportunities to go to different parts of the county and just have a conversation. I know for years Ms. Disney talked about having focus groups in the school. You know, when we started looking at the Moonshot Moment and you brought in your staff and staff went to Washington and Washington came here or whatever, the state of Washington where they were doing this, one of the things they talked about, which, everybody is shocked at, was having, in that school district, they had principals actually present their data to in their community focus groups. They would present their data and talk to the community about, this is how we're doing, this is what we're working on, these are our challenges, and so on and so forth. But having those conversations, I think, really helps gain the support of the community and have that honest feedback that we need in order to continuously improve what we do in the school district. And I think that that's the piece that, for example, we did the surveys, and so what did we do with those surveys? What is the outcome? We collected all that information. What feedback do we give when we ask people, let us know what you're thinking, do we follow through? And then what kind of conversations do we have with them? Because I know in Orange County, a lot of the board members do town hall meetings, and they go and they listen to the community. And I think that there's something to be said for having face-to-face interaction with people. And it's challenging, it's scary, because you don't know who's going to be there. And people sometimes can be very negative and very confrontational. But, that's just part of the job, that we have to learn how to deal with that. But I think that the feedback piece is an area, and it doesn't have to be, or that could be part of a strategy somewhere or an objective. And what would that look like? Maybe town halls are not it, but what could that look like if we were intentional about having some face-to-face contact with the community, not where they can only speak 3 minutes and we can't talk back,
not that we want to talk back in a negative way, but we can engage them in conversation. And I think that just that in itself sends a certain message to the community. And I know what happens in, like, you know, county commission where everybody has those conversations, that the school board meeting is not the place to have mm-hmm. those conversations. But if that's not the place, when and where is the place to engage our stakeholders?
Yeah, I think that about 10 years ago or so, when we saw parents really wanting to get involved in education, they were not so passive where they were just bringing the child to the door and leaving the child. It was really a tough shift for school districts to have to learn to be more welcoming and be more accommodating. And that same paradigm shift has taken place with parents now wanting to be able to have a voice and community members wanting to have a voice. And because of social media, they have a voice. So now it's up to us to decide, do we want to let them talk to us or talk about us? You know, that's really our choices. It's not to say, if we don't have a forum, they're not going to not talk. They're just going to talk to other people instead of talking to us, where we may be either able to correct a misimpression that they've gotten or to learn from it and do something different.
I think what you have to decide is what do you want your superintendent to spend her time doing?
Oh, yeah.
If you know what I'm saying? I mean, that really is a decision. My hope is that you want me to spend my time in schools with
teachers
and students and community.
What she's referring to is board members doing these town hall meetings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm willing to do it.
But I will caution you that we can't have a meeting. We have something on our roundtable next week. We have to have an agenda of some kind. If the agenda is simply open discussion, I mean, we have to have minutes. Anytime that there's more than one of us at something, there has to be, and I think Ms. DeGresta will verify, there has to be a purpose. It has to be advertised. If there's more than one board member there to talk to the community, that's what it has to be. And we can't just, you know, and I know that we weren't successful with our budget meetings, even though we did try and put those at, for people to just come and talk to us. Yeah, I'm happy to go. If I'm a person who's working till 5 and don't get home until 6 and have kids and all of that, I'm not too sure that I'm going to take my evening if I don't know, if all I want to do is just come and tell Carol Johnson hello, and I'm not happy about lunches because there's no Mexican hats.
I think it should be purposeful.
I understand, and I am very well aware of what they do in Orange County. Mm-hmm. I'm very well aware of some of their board members over there, but and what they do. But
just to follow up.
But I don't think you would. What I was trying to say, you're not implying.
I'm not saying that the superintendent needs to do it.
I know. This is superintendent's.
Well, but these are district goals. You know, and I think that part of, for example, in the past, when my kids were at Bureau Beach High School, one year the principal had coffee with the principal,
right.
And parents came in, mm-hmm. and they had conversations. You know, so and it doesn't. I'm not saying that this is something the superintendent has to do, but you know, in one of the school district evaluation forms, you know, they did expect the superintendent to do, say, 3 town halls a year, mm-hmm. not go everywhere all the time, and have so many meetings with graduating students. And some of that information is just valuable information. You know, and I think, you know, we don't have to complicate this, because mm-hmm. I think because we work under sunshine law, you know, mm-hmm. that's always the barrier. Every time we have something, we always think of all the reasons why we can't do it. And sunshine law makes sense, because really we don't want to violate it. But, you know, board members can just do this on their own. It can be something that we can create an example and have, you know, like... in the past, one of the county commissioners, he breakfast with the mayor, breakfast with so-and-so, and they find a place, and it was just that person, come, I'd like to hear what your thoughts on are. And I think today we're missing the opportunity. Look at what's happening with Common Core. Now there's a bill around Common Core. We have parents that are very organized, and I think we as a school board, have been very quiet on this. And, you know, we do it, they're talking about us, not talking about it. And they're not talking to us about it, because when they come to the school board meeting, we don't engage them. They just come and they talk to us. And so I think sometimes it's missed opportunities when there's things going on in the community around education and we don't tell our story. And we may not have time. I mean, you know, we're not going to ask for staff to create something, mm-hmm. but maybe we individually can listen. And, you know, I know that we don't tell each other what to do, but on the other hand, as a group, sometimes we can say, you know, this is something we might want to do because we need opportunities to hear from the community. And if the superintendent, if that's not where we want her to spend our time, then how are we going to hear from the community? Because I still think in the end, I love what you said, we don't want them talking about us. We want them talking with us. And together, we want to tackle these challenges as opposed to allowing the story to be told by others and then we're defending ourselves, you know.
Yeah. So this is... Let me just clarify one thing. I was not trying to set up barriers. What I was trying to tell you was if we are going to meet more than one person, mm-hmm. and I did look to Ms. DeGresta, we have to have minutes taken. We have to have those things. You can call it town hall. You can call it coffee clatch. You can call it a beer and pizza. I don't care what you call it, but you're going to have to. We have to by law. Yeah. Sunshine. And I was not trying to set up a barrier in any way. I'm happy to participate, and I thought I had said that. But we also cannot. I don't care if it's a matter of asking forgiveness later. I am not going to participate in something that is not to the letter of the law and the protocols that are set. I just won't do that. And I think it's very important when we have opportunities such as the... we do have a couple of wonderful commissioners who put themselves out there. And I know Peter O'Brien is probably mm-hmm. one of the best at this because he goes to all the little, including my little gated community. He is there once a month. He spends time... you're welcome to go down to the pool house and talk to him. He's there. He sets up a two-hour block. He makes sure, and he writes a letter for our... I mean, he writes a column for our newsletter. You know, he is very dedicated to hearing what we're thinking in that part of the county, and he wants to know what our concerns are. If it is something along those lines, we still have to have... We still, Ms. Jimenez, we have got to comply with the letter of the law, which is... If there is more than one person, I'm not saying the superintendent has to be there. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is if there's more than one person who is on this board who is going to meet, you have to comply with the letter of the law.
But in this example, he's doing it on his own. He's not doing it on his own.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, you had talked about the board members being involved, and that's when I mm-hmm. said, yes, I was more than happy to do that.
So this is... I apologize because that really is part of a conversation about strategies and not really the goal. I think what I'm taking away from it is we need a low-tech strategy as well as
right.
a high-tech strategy because
yes.
not everything's plugged
right.
in.
And I would say about that, I think there's great value in meeting with small groups on for different issues mm-hmm. and occasions. You know what I mean? I don't know about my time in town hall meetings, but I do think that I do throughout the year meet with small groups, and I think that's very important and welcome, you know, that. So if there's any way that, you know, from my point of view, that you think the superintendent can assist with that communication and collaboration.
And you've done a good job with that with our retirees. You've taken time to meet with them. You've taken time to do those things. But I think that sometimes there is, and I will agree, it sometimes can be very intimidating for people to come here.
And even board members have come to me different times to say, you know, would you be willing to
sure.
talk with this group of people?
Yeah.
And I think that's important, you know, if there needs to be that conversation. So,
about number four, I think Claudia had a good start with the maintaining the relationships with the partnerships, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I covered... participation in schools, meaningful participation, but we still need a statement about feedback, probably. Do you think that's part missing? What was your statement about the partnerships, Claudia?
I'll read the whole thing. Okay. Maintain outreach and meaningful
community engagement to respond to diverse student needs and receive feedback of stakeholders.
That's fine with me, except I just thought that we had a conversation about the encouraging meaningful participation at schools, and I thought maybe that was kind of an important part of it.
Right.
Because I know one of the things I did hear from a volunteer in the community is a parent went to school to volunteer and was told there was nothing they could do. Mm-hmm. They had nothing they could do.
And I do hear that.
Yeah. And so, you know, this is an ongoing struggle because of the Jessica Lunsford law, because of helicopter parents, because of the different things that happen in schools that, you know, we need to control. But it is something I think we need to tackle, is that when you have a parent whose only way they can figure out to be involved in their child's education is to show up at the schoolhouse. We don't want to push them away, you know, because some parents just don't have the, you know, either the flexibility or the talents or whatever it might be to figure out another way to participate. So if that's the only way they can figure out, we don't want to push them away. Mm-hmm.
Did you want to put student learning in there? You were trying to capture
the student
learning.
I love the student learning.
I like
each
one.
Somewhere it can
I think support student learning. Yeah,
contribute
to
support will fit.
It needs to be our thread in all of these, each and every one.
I like that.
Well, if those come back to us before the next meeting, we'll have a chance
to tweak.
We
can all look at it and tweak.
Sit in a quiet spot and...
Okay. So for my benefit, since these are my goals, could we go back over, you know, for next time? Mm-hmm. We talked about, we're working on now an overarching goal for the superintendent, like establishing a vision for. I've given you some strategies that we've looked at in terms of working on academics, human resource. But then beyond that, we're going to establish some objectives, and they will be more specific.
Yes, with our attached artifacts, perhaps, you know.
Okay.
Like what we would want to see to show that objective was met.
Okay.
And that I mean, I see the strategies as being yours, but the objectives as being ours.
Okay, so you'll bring back the objectives.
Both of us.
Yeah. Okay.
You and us.
Okay, so give me an example of what you mean by an objective. You have all these strategies.
Bless you.
Excuse me, sorry.
Do you need to leave, Mr. McCain? Not because you sneezed.
I've got a few minutes.
Okay. So that's off the top of my head. The parent feedback that we're talking about is the development of a survey that has, you know, an X number of responses to it that would be measurable.
So that's the objective?
For the superintendent.
I'm trying to distinguish. You said that the superintendent comes up with the strategies. We come up with the objective. So I'm trying to understand how we're defining objective so I can look at this and put on an objective lens.
So I'm using objective in the terms of that's what would be measurable, and the strategy would be what's the superintendent going to do to make that happen? What's she going to implement? Whatever can be implemented. Right?
Okay, so the objective...
Let me see if I got that.
The objective, for example, if you're looking at academic, is to increase student time on task. That is the objective. And then what is the superintendent going to do to make that happen? She's going to figure out they're going to figure out the baseline. Currently, this is how much time kids are spending on task. Here's the baseline, and we want to improve it so much. So the objective is to increase student time on task.
And then the strategy that Dr. Adams wrote was develop an action plan. I don't think that.
So I think these are all these are strategies that, you know, we've come up with. We think that we need to do in these various areas. You've come up with an overarching goal. Do you want to write your objectives to those goals, or do you want to write objectives to my strategies that my staff already has objective? Or, you know what I mean? They already have some defining. I'm not sure.
Sorry. Because it almost seems like if we had the general goals and we fleshed out those general goals in four statements, which we're going to get back to review. You provided us some of the strategies that could go under those goals. And those strategies really in themselves already have the objective because it tells us what you're trying to accomplish.
Right.
And
right.
It gives us an idea of how
right.
you're going to measure it. So maybe what we should do is kind of look at this and think, is there any objective that's missing? Because the objectives are here. Not that we want to burden you with more objectives, but now that we've heard this morning's presentation, we've had this conversation, maybe we need to let it percolate.
Okay.
And as we sit with it and we get the four statements of goals, we can think, okay, is anything missing under any of these goals?
Okay.
Or is there any clarification?
So when is our workshop? The 9th? So what I can do for you, board, is to provide the objectives that that some of my staff members have looked at it, and then you can add to or change.
9 a.m.
On the 9th? Okay. Because you basically need to know what
next
we've already come up with before.
Next Monday.
Before
Monday.
Before you.
Right.
Okay.
And the objectives are in there, so I'm thinking, what do we go back and rewrite everything and turn it into an objective.
I actually thought you might add some additional strategies. You might have thought, you know, well, I really would like you to look at something else in addition to what I already have, rather than writing an objective under those strategies. In other words, maybe I wasn't comprehensive enough under the academic, and you really would like to see some other strategy used, okay? And then what you'll get at the end is what the outcomes of those strategies. You'll get the measurable outcomes of what happened as a result of these strategies, where you're kind of taking it to one more layer to say, well, this is what we want to see as the outcome.
Well, and each board member is going to have something slightly different as to what they want to see, and that's why if it's not in there, we cannot take exception to it at the end of the process. We need to put it in at the beginning of the process, not the end of the process.
So I think what I'd like you to take a look at is, maybe rather than adding another layer, and this is up to you, are there any other strategies that you feel need to be added under any one of these? Based on the conversation that you've had.
Well, I don't feel like these strategies are something that we can add unilaterally. I really, because you have to implement, I think that it's a conversation and it's not a direction, I think.
And I think that, for example, the kind of things I came prepared with are things that fall under, you know, this whole idea when we talk about supporting kids in terms of organizational skills, test-taking skills,
and
note-taking skills. That's really deep, but it's something that we don't do very well, and that's why it's being discussed, because when kids do those transitions, we don't have anything in place for that, and that's why I bring it up. And so it's really difficult to have these conversations because the things that sometimes one thinks about have to do with what's going on for kids, because those are the things that help them learn, yet those are the things you're not supposed to talk about.
Well,
so
it's
that
not
if
talking
everything
about,
is up here,
getting into the weeds.
Right, but then how do you identify those needs? Because, for example, when you say increase student achievement in reading, that we've been wanting to do that since No Child Left Behind started, but we've got some subgroups that are still struggling since No Child Left Behind started. And so it just seems, you know, as a board member, it's like, I want to know what we're doing. I want to know what we're doing differently, because obviously we're still struggling with it. But if everything is up here, you know, do we wait another year and then get those numbers again and say, okay, now we've done something different?
And well, here's identify what that was. Here's what I was prepared for you to say to me, is that you want to increase it by this much, but you have to leave it to us to determine how it's going to get done. What I hear you saying is, well, I hope it's going to be done differently because we haven't made this increase. But then what the accountability part is you have to leave it to staff and everybody else to put the practices in place that will do that. Okay? That's what I'm asking the board to look at. I'm saying to you, we need to look at increasing student achievement in these target areas.
Yes. And that
you have to leave it to me and staff to determine how that's going to take place.
And that is the objective, and that's how you're.
That's
gonna
what
be,
I think.
That's what you're going to be evaluated on.
Exactly.
Is
did it happen?
We agree that you know the objective that you name is acceptable, and then your strategy of how you're going to get that is going to be to use the ABC book and the 1-2-3 book.
Exactly.
And to
exactly.
Increase this time and take away that thing. And, you know.
So. What you just said is these really are the objectives.
No, okay?
What you just said is these really are the objectives, and the goals are those broad goals where you're going to make a relevant quality learning experiences, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So then going back to this looking at academic, there's no mention here of anything related to STEM, to science. Is that just because that's too much to tackle? In terms of narrowing those goals, because
okay, I don't think it's too much.
These are going to get more specific, right?
Right, but here it's specific reading, math. There's no mention of science or anything.
Right, and we were going to do it through literacy. You know, what we were looking at today when we looked at that is not trying to get so specific in each one of those, but addressing it through the literacy. So that was the goal for this year, was to be able to do that.
Like Mr. Reinhardt said, the way they increased all their scores,
exactly,
science included, was through reading, writing, and critical thinking.
Yeah.
I guess looking at that, you know, when we had that situation in middle schools where we cut all of the gifted reading classes. And we said that we were fine with it because reading was going to be pushed into the subject areas. Mm-hmm. And so kids were going to get exposure to reading. So we've had a little bit of experience with that. And I guess, you know, the question would be, if, you know, we're looking for goals. How did that work? How successful were we in pushing the literacy? Because that's what we said we were going to do. Because that is an opportunity to learn as to whether it worked or whether it didn't. And I think, you know, that's one of my frustrations being on the board, is that, you know, we have all these things happening, but we don't get the feedback. And then when we're creating goals, we don't have experience to draw from. Like, that's why this morning I was asking for the data on attendance and on truancy, because we are so numbers-driven that I thought, well, if we see the data, we'll be compelled to address it. You know, and I personally think a lot of that data is superfluous because we know we have a problem and we don't need to invest millions of dollars to test kids to know that we're struggling in reading and math. We have to do something about it. So, like, my question, you know, I'd be better informed.
The first thing they said is they're going to address attendance.
Right.
The very first thing is they're going to address attendance. And they're addressing it with data.
Right. No, but I'm going back to the reading and I'm saying, so did we learn anything from that first attempt to push reading and literacy into the subject areas?
No, I don't think that we did at that time. Now we've got Common Core that is the standards, the anchor standards, is one of the anchor standards. We've put secondary reading coaches back out, and they're going to help support that. So I think we have a new way of trying to drive that in, as well as
in this process that we're doing, literacy is going to be one of the things that they talk about on these teams. Okay, that's going to be made up of teachers. So it's a process. You're right. The traditional way we've always looked at it is look at the data, make a decision under that, make a decision under that, and we haven't found that supporting our efforts. So we're trying to look at a different model to get us there.
And we haven't done anything for 3 years in a row to where you have a viable data.
Right.
It's always changing.
Unfortunately.
Right? Yeah.
So I think we're going to do kind of what you're talking about. We're going to look at it in a different way. And that was, it's uncomfortable because we're so used to looking at data. And that's the other thing. That's the other reason we didn't get so specific on here is, like, if we're going to try a new process and we're going to try and do it transformationally, the goal is to make progress. Mm-hmm. Now, if you tell me I want a number to say it's going to be increased by this much, then that's what I need to know. Right now, our broad goal is to make progress in those annual measurable objectives, which is at a target in each of the areas. It's all of them.
I think part of the reason this doesn't feel so definitive, like that would be a more satisfying outcome of this meeting, is that we've already been doing a lot of this stuff, because we could see the... We could see the lights, you know, we could see ahead, and we started putting some of this stuff into place, and so now it's really just wrapping it all up and getting it all going in the same direction, because there's been a little bit of fragmentation with the way things are being done. You know, some teachers have been embedding reading in their teaching for years, and some teachers have not, and now it's the concerted effort that, you know, there really is a direction that everybody is going to be pulling in. And I think that's why we don't have that feeling right now.
Exactly.
Okay, we're changing everything and
it.
It's going this way.
Yeah.
It's because we've kind of been pushing our way that way anyway.
And the other thing I would say is every school still has to do a school improvement plan, which really addresses, you know, a lot of those areas. And the thing that we're going to use, even in this process, is the 8-step process that's used in school improvement planning. So we're taking that process and we're going to use it in everything that we do. So it becomes familiar so that we're not talking about, well, you use this 6-step process for this, you use this 8-step for that. So the school improvement planning process is the process that we're going to use as we go through attendance, looking at moving through each of those steps. If we look at discipline, you know, you kind of work through those steps. So I think it's going to set up a process by which you, when you bring data forward, you're purposeful in how you're moving through that. So are you planning to be part of that? Because Mrs. Jimenez had come to that one.
Fearful? You were there, too. Oh, well, I was at this.
Yeah, so there's two different cohorts, so, you know, two board members could be a part of that, or the call could. We know what the dates are.
Yeah, I'd like to see the schedules.
Yeah, we'll get those, too.
Why don't we get the schedules out? We can make
It's just important everybody comes to it, you know, every time.
Everybody
because I
does
said I was going to do doing the legislative piece for them, that whole thing, so I don't want to spread myself too
far. Oh, I get it.
Yeah. Speaking of it, school improvement plans, have you thought about the schools having a conversation about core beliefs and schools having their own little mission?
That's part of that.
Okay.
It's establishing that vision and mission for each of your schools, because you're all different, you know, but that's kind of part of that. What are those bedrock beliefs? What are they? You know, what does this school believe in? So, yes, that's part of this conversation.
I mean, it was so helpful to hear the administrators put into words how they felt about students and about learning. Because you get kind of these, I don't know, assumptions of people sometimes because of their professional persona or whatever. And then to actually hear them talk just gave me some very different opinions of people and gave me confidence, so much confidence in many of them that when I had that chance to have these very intimate conversations about education on that five, six people at a time.
And so those are the kind of conversations that this process is going to allow. You know, we don't take the time, we don't have that in place in each of our schools, and that's why the teachers are so important, you know, to be part of this.
And I have one more question. When you look at your academic goals,
mm-hmm. and you're going to look at your artifacts. What role do you give to the section on learning gains? Because I think a lot of times we look at the annual measurable objectives, mm-hmm. and you know, some kids are behind and they may not make the score that everybody wants to see, but there's been learning. There's been learning gain. So how do you kind of reconcile?
If there's a learning gain, it will show progress mm-hmm. in this, okay? Mm-hmm. And the expectation should be that every child makes a year's worth of growth. Mm-hmm. That should be an expectation. So we're differentiating just the way you're saying. If you are a student that is struggling and you're here, you should expect that you're going to make a year's worth of growth. If you're a student who's already here, you should expect that you're going to make a year's worth of growth. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how the learning gains are looked at.
So, because it seems like something that would be missing here is that whole summer slide piece. Because if you're looking at learning gains mm-hmm. and kids are losing during the summertime, there's nothing here that seems to address that other piece. And maybe that's not a school district responsibility, but I know that we have the camps mm-hmm. and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So what's the accountability around that? We offer them, we invest money. What outcomes are we seeing? Is that working? Do we mm-hmm. need to be doing it differently?
I think they're valid questions. I think that's something that they do evaluate mm-hmm. at the end of summers. We have the enrichment, which is for the Title I students to continue and extend their year, and then we have the summer reading camp for third grade students who did not score proficiently, and we give them the set 10 at the end of that in hopes that some of those students can move on.
Because I know
we do a portfolio for those who...
There were, like, a goal could be, you know, to increase the number of students that participate, because we had those programs, but we didn't have the students that really needed to be there. A lot of them weren't there.
A strategy.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I guess because that's not in here anywhere.
Mm-hmm. No, those are things that you can talk about and, mm-hmm. and add. This is what doesn't meant to be the be-all, end-all. You know, it's to...
Yeah. Well, by defining your targets in the plan, you're mm-hmm. able to break it down, because that isn't a strategy for everybody.
Right.
It's mm-hmm. a strategy for a smaller group. Mm-hmm. So you define that mm-hmm. in your strategic mm-hmm. plan. And then your goal is something that is more mm-hmm. overarching.
And that would be a way to increase student achievement. Mm-hmm. That could be like, you know, something that I would talk to Mr. Reinberg about. Mm-hmm. It's like increasing the number of students that we can, or making sure those students that need to be there mm-hmm. through personal contact getting to those mm-hmm. Title I camps. That's right. What you're yeah. talking about. Yeah. But that really would fall under increasing the student achievement.
Okay, any other questions? Or anything else?
Now my head's full.
It's been a good day. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Is that what it is?
So I'm going to come back with artifacts that we think support that this happened, and we're going to come back with some as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And if we could, if we could have the wordsmithing done on this for goals, so that we do have something.
Yeah.
And it's still not in stone. We can make any mm-hmm. changes we want.
What we'll try and do is get those out before the end of the week, so you have the week, because that's next week.
Monday.
So you have the weekend to look at them.
Right. Okay.
We may need another section. I'm wondering if we should go ahead and start a schedule when we know it's canceled, mm-hmm. you know, before things get booked up. I know we have time on both the 17th and 24th, but we really need to get it done.
Yeah. Actually, I'm out of town on the 17th.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the health and wellness.
for me, the 24th.
The 24th, we don't have any morning session till 1 o'clock.
I have the health clinic.
The clinic is the 17th.
Yeah, the health clinic.
So I was going to say that earlier.
How do you remember all that?
Yeah.
You're really good about it. But if it's not in here, it doesn't happen.
I live and die by the calendar.
So it's 24th a.m.?
1.
1 o'clock.
Yes.
And then the delegation was canceled, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
You have that, Ms. Day?
At one,
yes, ma'am.
And you have the same name, Goals, yes.
Well, that'll be the superintendent eval.
Yes, that would be the superintendent evaluation tools, mm-hmm. and the then the ninth would be.
Are we going to do both, or goals and evaluation tool? We're doing both.
Well, we have to finish the goals before we do the evaluation tool. So if we get the goals done next week on Monday, we'll do the evaluation and we'll be finished. But at least we have some new schedule in case we don't finish. You know, it's canceled.
Okay. Anything else?
I just wanted to share something with you guys. This is what I was talking about in terms of measurable outcomes when we were talking about the involvement of superintendent. And it says, develop and implement a communication plan to be inclusive of, and then it says, six town hall meetings, three end-of-year superintendents, roundtable discussions with high school seniors, you know, and so on and so forth. So it's really specific stuff that can, you know, you're not saying be everywhere 24/7, but something specific, if that's, you know, one way of getting input, and that way it doesn't, you know, fall by the way.
Anything else?
Nothing.
Meeting is adjourned.
And if you would,
yeah, I'm sorry. Well, I just want to say I'm going to be doing these regardless. So if you come up with some other ones,
you would, please.
We're fine. I'm fine. And that certainly isn't the only thing you're going to be working on this school year.
No.
Right.
Yeah.